Welcome to Brick House with Bob Johnson and Matt Baker. Brick House. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Brick House. The NBA season is back.
It's back.
So are we. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. It's been a long, wild ride, right? 5 months? No. 4 months.
Yeah, it really is only about 2 weeks of downtime with the NBA offseason these days. Fourth season for Brick House. Going into it here. I wanted to start with a Carmelo Anthony quote, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
When asked if he has a chip on his shoulder heading into the season, Melo said, quote, "I think a chip is too small to say." Didn't show it in the first Rockets game, but we'll get to that. Seeing as it is our fourth season, I thought maybe we could experiment by trying to find a new niche in the NBA community.
Sure, got to keep it fresh.
Podcast community. How do we get more listeners to the pod? I thought, you know, maybe we could try some stuff. So we're asking for listeners' help. Get the word out to your friends, of course. That's the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, but we want a more 2018 way, Bob.
Right. So I thought we could experiment with the format a little bit, draw some more ears to the show. Send in your suggestions if you like any of the things we talk about today. I came up with a couple of new pitches. I know you've been working on this too. What if, you know, a common podcast that gets a lot of ears is the relationship pod.
Okay.
Relationship advice. What if we combined NBA in our irreverent coverage of the NBA with a relationship pod?
Okay, like a Dr. Drew, like a love line, or are we talking about like a...
There's so many different ways to do an NBA pod as there is to do a relationship pod.
Right.
We've had a little experience in relationship. We got a single guy, a married guy.
Yeah, we have a little experience. You are correct.
What if we got letters from our listeners that came in like this?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a sample letter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not NBA related, mm-hmm. but the guy's, he's looking for our help. So let's do a practice run so our listeners could see what an NBA relationship pod from Bob and Matt would look like.
Right.
Dear Brickhouse, I really like where I live. My job just gave me a huge raise, and I don't want to be anywhere else. Except there's this one problem.
Oh, no.
This summer, my coworker had sex with my girlfriend.
Oh, no.
I really like this girl. We were already broken up, but it wasn't that long ago, and my coworker knew I was pretty sad about it. After they have sex, she won't return my calls. She takes all mentions of me off her social media.
Brutal.
My office, like I said, they really like me, and they want me there for my entire career. I asked if they would transfer this problem coworker, and they agreed. So I get back from a little summer vacation, and he's still here. And not only is he still here, he's openly fucking with me now, too. The other day I was at the copy machine, he threw all the papers on the floor screaming, "You can't copy near me! I'm the best copier in the office!" He clearly knows it was me who asked management to transfer him, and I might feel a little guilty about it, except that he had sex with my girlfriend.
Ah, yes.
What should I do? Signed, antagonized, and ignored.
Ooh.
So, this has nothing to do with the NBA, but
yeah.
I just thought that maybe we could give some advice to antagonized and ignored. Antagonized and ignored, you need to stand up to this bully coworker and prove to him that you can defend yourself without the help of management.
I like how you said defend in that.
Without doing that, he'll continue to bully you, and you could lose respect of other coworkers
in your office.
Also, you need to go back to management, but on the sly, and make sure they know you're serious, and if they don't intend to transfer your coworker ASAP, that they should make accommodations to transfer you.
Yeah, I want to know, did this bully coworker, did he start using like the lower-level employees on, say, like his little team to bully the more prominent members of the company?
Yeah, going up against the middle and upper management.
Yeah, okay. What would be really weird is if the person who's getting bullied came out and just kind of didn't have a great opening day at work as per se, as maybe the one who is doing the bullying. But there's plenty of other days of work to course correct.
It's gotten to him. It's in his head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's an NBA relationship pod. Okay. That's a sample.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I like that. What if we take fans and we put them on the podcast with the person in the organization that they are having problems with? So we famously, good friend of the show, has once, I should say more than once in his life, called the general manager of his favorite NBA team to talk about moves.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yes. What if we bring that to the podcast, right? What if we sit them both down and we have like face-to-face interviews with fans and the, say there was a host of this podcast who didn't like the owner of his favorite NBA team.
Uh-huh.
What if we could bring that owner on where we could really grill and like dive deep into things of like why he trades all his point guards or why he fires his general managers day before the season, just things like that. We need to bring people face-to-face with the members of the franchises that they are having issue with.
Like a brick house Jerry Springer.
Kind of, because at the end of the day, you have a relationship with your favorite team, right?
Yeah, I like it.
You give them money and they give you heartbreak in return. It's very much like a relationship.
Wow. Robert Sarver got me pregnant.
That's not my kid. You can't prove it. You're right, I can't.
These are some great suggestions, but what if we went in a different way? I was trying to think of what else is popular.
Cat videos,
exactly.
Okay.
That's where I was going.
Oh, wow.
An NBA/veterinarian pod.
Okay.
For the animal lovers out
yeah.
there. Who doesn't love a good dog, a cat,
uh-huh.
an emu? I got another letter.
Oh, no.
Dear Brickhouse, I took my dog to the dog park and my neighbor brought his dog after he promised he wouldn't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
His dog is a total dick to my dog all the time. So this time my neighbor's dog gets all the little dogs from the little dog side of the dog park and teams up with them to attack my dog and some of the bigger dogs that come to the park all the time. It was humiliating my dog and I think he may be emotionally scarred. Is there such thing as a dog psychologist? The worst part is my dog has to see the neighbor's dog every time we go for a walk or leave the house and the neighbor's dog won't stop barking at him. It's killing my dog's self-esteem. What should we do? What should he do?
Mm-hmm.
It's killing his dog's self-esteem.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I don't know if suggesting dog warfare on our new animal-themed podcast mm-hmm. is going to go over well with all of our dog-loving listeners.
Oh, of course. We don't want to do that, no.
What I do when I'm with my dogs and, you know, the dogs are freaking out in the yard, run by the house. Just minimize that time. Before your dogs freak out, get too engaged.
Right.
Otherwise, just to increase your dog's sense of self-worth, lots of exercise, sleep, mm-hmm. a well-balanced diet.
Mm-hmm.
Just TB12. And get the book, apply it to your dog.
TB12?
That's Tom
Brady. Tom Brady 12. Yeah,
health
yeah.
and wellness. He seems
okay.
to know what he's doing.
That's what I thought for a second.
Don't ever give your dog a strawberry.
No.
Nightshades. Poison.
Are they?
Well, to Tom Brady.
Okay.
You're not familiar with TB12?
Not really.
Not for, neither.
No, that's good. There's a lot of sick animals in the basketball community, right? We need to reach out. There's a group of dogs. I mean, there's a Finnish dog, but there's one dog that likes punching other dogs
okay.
in the dog face. And they have a... It's kind of like a mission. There's one really... Or not dog.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Bulls. I can... one has like really weird hair. It's just a mishmash of these animals.
Okay.
We need to bring them together and figure out how they don't lose all their animal matches this year and how we bring them. So I like this. You might cut all of that because I started calling them all dogs. But I think the point remains that there are a lot of sick animals that we can have outreach for.
I mean, sometimes you just got to put a bull down, though. Am I right?
You might. Like, say, for instance, say there was a bull, an animal of a fake scenario.
Right.
Named Ryan Archie Diacono.
Oh, okay. That's what you name cows.
Yeah. Let's say there were minutes allotted to these bulls in this skirmish, of this bull skirmish.
Uh-huh.
And Ryan Archie Diacono played 28 of those minutes.
Okay.
There might need to be a lot of therapy for animal therapy to rehabilitate this once proud collection of animals.
Well, yeah, hopefully the Chris Dunn bull will come back, but he had a pregnant cow.
So oh, yeah.
They gave birth to his bull son.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, so I don't think the veterinarian pod's going to work out.
No, it'll work. It'll work.
What about television?
Yes.
Another thing that we all enjoy, something that we love talking about. It brings us together, even while it allows us to spend so much time apart.
Right.
What if we did a show that was NBA, but only in metaphors about Better Call Saul and This Is Us?
Okay.
A couple examples here. Jimmy Butler is doing the thing, the Jimmy McGill thing that he did in season 3 when he's trying to get fired by Davis and Maine by any means possible without losing his paycheck, of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't do that.
I bet Jimmy is pooping in the locker room stalls and not flushing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a fan of This Is Us? Do you watch?
No, I've never watched This Is Us before. I have watched Better Call Saul, so I like that road, but continue.
Do you cut onions ever?
No, I don't.
Onion cutter. Okay. Well, there's about equal amount of crying in cutting onions and watching This Is Us.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I let no one call me an onion cutter if they want to know what's good for them.
Well, there's these characters played by Sterling K. Brown and his wife. I don't know the actress's name. They're Randall and Beth.
Okay.
Great couple.
Right.
Amazing TV couple.
Mm-hmm.
They're so great that they adopt this teenage girl, Deja, right? Kawhi is like Deja. Kawhi Leonard. In this case, Randall and Beth are the Toronto Raptors. They want Deja to have a great life, and they just want to be there for her, but she pushes back. She likes them, but she doesn't like being told where she has to live.
Okay.
And Randall isn't her real dad, or even her real uncle, for that matter.
Oh, wow.
You see the connections here?
Okay.
I mean, this is just the first draft of
the
NBA television pod, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter.
There's a lot of space to be explored in the ensemble tear-jerking medium, right?
Yes.
We have A Million Little Things or All the Little Pieces or whatever's on ABC, which is basically just
This Is Us rip-offs.
They're like, hey, what's your best Sterling K. Brown impression?
That's the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, exactly. That's not what we were looking for at all. But this is very important because what is the NBA, Bob? The NBA is a mimic league, right? If one team is coming out playing hard-nosed basketball, then the NBA shifts that way and ruins its image for 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Playoff games are 60 to 40. They're fighting on the court. But then what comes along? What comes along is This Is Us, right? They're taking shots from television shots from behind the television three-point line. They're speeding up the game. They're getting everyone, both men and women, to just cry tears of just passion. Over and over every
night. You have seen the show.
Okay, I have seen the show. I have to maintain my hardcore image, Bob, so they'll let me into all the hardcore places. But yeah, so this is what happens when we find a team, we like the team, and then all the other teams try and make worse versions of that team that can't actually compete with that team, right? But what's going to happen is, what is it, A Million Little Things or all the...
I'm not sure.
What I'm talking about, though, right?
Oh, you've got 75 people in the cast on the billboard.
What's going to happen is this show is going to... I apologize because this might hurt a little bit, but the show is going to come out strong. It's going to have a good debut, okay? It's going to have a good second episode.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen... You get close to, say, playoff time or sweeps week for television. Do they do even sweeps week anymore?
I think so.
Unfortunately, Ron Livingston, the main star of the show, is probably going to get injured.
Oh, man. I knew it was going there.
Yeah. These are the problems with the television shows, that it has to last whole seasons, right?
So are you calling James Harden the low-rent Sterling K. Brown in this metaphor?
Either that or James Rhode from Psych.
Uh-huh.
either one. I haven't kind of figured out what's going on there yet. Yeah, so there's a lot of... Who's going to be the next Million Little Things?
Imitators. I see.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But what if we just got rid of the NBA altogether?
Okay.
I love our listeners.
Yeah.
Our listeners are why we get up in the morning. But what if, just what if, we did a veterinarian relationship television pod and we got more listeners than for our jokey NBA show?
I wouldn't put it past us.
In this version of the pod, we never break character. It might be about the NBA metaphorically, but with so many mixed metaphors and without explicit reference to actual basketball players or teams, would anyone know? Would anyone care?
Uh-huh.
Matt, I don't think we've talked enough about Jimmy Butler on this podcast, which is why I thought it would be appropriate to do a dramatic reenactment of every Jimmy Butler interview since his famous practice rant.
Okay.
So for those of you who haven't heard, been under an NBA rock, Jimmy Butler returned to the Timberwolves. He had not been practicing with the team. Last week, shows up and takes the third string chumps and destroys the starters.
Right.
Specifically Andrew Wiggins and Karl Towns, taunting Karl Towns to try and score on him, yelling at the general manager that he needs him, he can't win without him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was strange since he had just, you know, a few days prior reiterated that he wants a trade.
Uh-huh.
But I was asking our resident Timberwolves fan about that. His theory is that Jimmy Butler wanted the Supermax that was given to Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh.
Because they gave it to Towns, they're not giving it to Butler. He's upset about that. May or may not have had sex with his girlfriend and is screaming and saying he doesn't want to be there because he wasn't getting the big contract.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, too, that the whole wanting to trade but then yelling, you can't win without me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So immediately after this practice, he went on the jump and did an interview with Rachel Nichols, mm-hmm. and was telling her what was going on. And I'm not going to use, like, exact quotes, but I just sort of give you the gist of the subsequent interviews that he's had since then. So you be the journalist, and I'll be Jimmy Butler.
I'll be Rachel Nichols. So what are you looking forward to tonight, Jimmy?
Just playing the game of basketball, being on the courts with my friends, like, for example, DeMar DeRozan.
But he plays for the other team.
Yeah, but we're on Team USA together, so evidence I care about my teammates.
Very good. But what about your Minnesota Timberwolves teammates?
They're a group of guys. I've known most of them for over a year now. We're going to go out there and compete because if I know the game of basketball, it's that you gotta play it with other guys, and these guys are a group of guys. So we'll be ready to play the game of basketball. I have no worries in the world. I'm just going out there to compete in the game of basketball.
Oh, that's very good. I'm more confident with this interview. He realizes a few things, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Realizes that basketball is a group of guys, and it's a game of basketball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, during this interview that was, you know, paraphrasing, mm-hmm. he was wearing a L.A. hat the entire time, too. L.A. Dodgers, but still.
Sure.
Matt, so there's been three nights of hoops so far. Recording this on Friday morning, we just saw the Lakers play the Blazers, was the last game. But now we've had three nights opening. Every team in the NBA has played. I wanted to go over our top overreactions.
Okay.
After everybody's played one or two games.
Right.
My top one is Lonzo, LeBron James, L.A. Lakers. My theory that LeBron was sent by Nike to L.A. to eclipse Lonzo Ball and the Big Baller brand is crystallizing before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Lonzo only played 19 minutes last night. He had 7 points on 7 shots, 1 assist, but he barely had the ball in his hands. He was on the floor for 19 minutes, but it felt like 5. He was basically invisible out there. Here's what I think might be happening.
Okay.
LeBron tells LeVar and Lonzo, here's the thing. I think I can get you a deal with Nike, but I will need from you these things three. Number one, LeVar, you can't talk shit anymore. Not about me or Rondo or Coach Walton or Lonzo's minutes, anything.
No deal. Okay, sorry.
Or you get no deal.
Okay.
Yeah. Number two, cut your shoe price by at least 60%. More on that to come here. Mm-hmm. Number three, prove you're good enough to shine on the Lakers, even if I'm kind of holding you back. This is talking to Lonzo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before you say anything, LeVar, remember rule number one. You want the Nike endorsement deal, right? So this is his negotiation tactics.
Right.
So far, Lonzo is going to need to work harder.
So we have more on the shoes coming.
Oh, yeah. We have a new segment, Shoe News, coming a little bit later.
Good. Do the people of Phoenix need to call Oakland and see how they handled 3 titles in 4 years? We start getting prepped for, I don't know if you watched the game, but is this something, do we need to call Oakland to get logistics down before it gets too late and we're right in the middle of this firestorm that is 3 Suns titles in 4 years?
Well, you know how they started that off in Golden State was Joe Lacob, right when he bought the team. You know, took the mic and addressed the crowd and said that he was going to bring multiple championships to the Bay Area, and everyone laughed at him.
Best blackjack player in the biz, Bob. If you watch the game, then I think what you clearly saw is a championship team in the making. Now, it's more in the line of the Warriors and not the trouble with the Timberwolves that is going on that had this ascent. So get downtown Phoenix. I don't know how much construction is there, but start working in the plans for all these title ceremonies. I think it's happening.
Oh, I got another L.A. overreaction, okay. Although I think this one is justified.
Yeah.
Boban Marjanovic is the new Yao Ming.
Oh, wow.
Yao Ming was my favorite player last decade. Boban, 7'3". First game in L.A. this season, 18 points, 8 rebounds in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Shooting 75% from the field and 100% from the free throw line.
That's a big thing for a big man.
Well, forget, Boban's not the new Yao. He is a free throw making Wilt Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
He even bent the rim dunking on Nikola Jokic without leaving the ground.
Yeah.
Dude is a freak. I love it. Favorite player on the Clippers.
Noted small man Nikola Jokic.
Right.
This might be trouble. We have to monitor this, all right? Gordon Hayward has already played 5 times as many minutes in the season opener as he did all of last season.
Wow.
This is not good. This is an unsustainable pace for Gordon Hayward. If he were to play 5 times as many minutes, if this were to keep continuing, there's no way he'll be able to make it through Christmas, Bob.
Did you catch the League of Legends commercial featuring Gordon Hayward?
I saw something and I was very confused.
Yeah. It's a strange person to choose for your video game endorser.
Yeah, because and also the way they went into the commercial was like something, something, and now something with League of Legends. It's like, what is happening?
Yeah, crossover. We're getting old.
Quite know.
Matt, I watched the Rockets game versus the Pelicans on Wednesday night. This is what I realized what was going on. Other people didn't see this, but I did. The Rockets are rope-a-doping the NBA this season.
Sure.
At least with this first game.
Sure.
It's just Muhammad Ali getting punched in the face strategically so that his opponents wear themselves out. They don't see it coming when he strikes back like a butterfly, stinging like a bee.
Like a bee, yes.
For everybody that's saying Carmelo Anthony's worthless and the Rockets team defense is going to be a disaster this year, they give him more minutes. Carmelo's not going to be that bad. It was just the Pelicans were incredible. Anthony Davis, Mirotić, and Julius Randle combined for 85 points, 34 rebounds, and 14 assists.
Can you repeat those numbers?
85, 34, and 14.
Oh, wow.
Just the three forwards. Plus, Elfrid Payton had a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's in large part because the Rockets suck so bad on D. Rope-a-doping.
Yeah, rope-a-dope, yes, yes.
How else are you giving up 76 points in the paint?
Rope-a-dope.
Thank you. I'm glad you see it my way.
Yeah, no, it all checks out. This is very important stuff. Bob, I know who's going to win Rookie of the Year already.
Oh, good. Ben Simmons.
2-time Rookie of the Year. Alonzo Trier.
Oh, yes.
Of your New York Knicks of Anaheim. 26 minutes, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. I mean, that's runaway Rookie of the Year type stuff. Have we ever had an undrafted player win Rookie of the Year? I know he went into this when Malcolm Brogdon, the second-round pick, won. I think you can take it to the bank. I think this is pretty much set in stone by comparison. He had 15 points. Trae Young, only 14 points.
Oh.
If you're going to spend all your money on one thing today.
Where did he come from?
Alonzo Trier?
Yeah.
Arizona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, he was really good. He was really good at Arizona, and then he had a... Like last year, not this past season, but 2 seasons ago, he missed the first half of the year because of PEDs. Like he had a bad, maybe not PED, but he had a bad drug test.
And then it was him and DeAndre Ayton last year on Arizona.
Yeah, and Raleigh Alkins. They had a great team.
Gotcha.
But then this past year that he got popped again for another drug test, but it was like so minimal and it was based off the first drug test that he was back within a few days. They were just like, what? And it happened.
Well, if we're going to let Ayton play with this $100,000, yeah, we might as well let Trier play.
The Trier stuff happened the same time the Ayton stuff came out. So there was a chance that there was like a 2-day window when their 2 best players might not play again and their coach would get fired.
Right.
But I think now that he's playing for above the board money, this is Rookie of the Year stuff.
I like it. This is a possible overreaction,
yeah.
But you tell me. Antagonized and ignored. I mean, Karl Towns is going to pout and suck until Jimmy Butler is gone. In their first game, Cat had his 6th foul with 4 minutes left in the fourth when they were still trying to beat the Spurs in San Antonio. His last three fouls of the game were all offensive fouls.
Right.
Ended up finishing with 6 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists on only 6 shots.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the stat line of a $190 million player.
Especially for a man who may have disappeared in some playoff games in recent memory.
It's my copier! Only I could copy here! Matt, we're going to go into our new category. That's shoe news.
Okay.
A lot of news around the NBA in regards to shoes. We'll start with the Clipper, as you do. Maybe Montrezl Harrell's shoes will convince KD to join the Clippers. Have you heard about this?
No, I need some of these Montrezl Harrell shoes.
Montrezl Harrell is designing shoes with embedded monitors playing video highlights of Montrezl Harrell.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
He says he thinks he's going to wear them next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
He's going to play an NBA game with shoes that show, the shoes also show him playing NBA games.
That's right.
You basically get to watch two games for the price of one game.
Exactly.
Okay. He also apparently owns 1,000 pairs of shoes.
A lot of these NBA players have ridiculous amount of shoes.
Yeah.
Also LA shoe news, Lakers' Kyle Kuzma has signed an endorsement deal with GOAT in what the company calls the, quote, first athlete partnership with a sneaker reselling platform.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say first athlete partnership with an animal. I thought he actually signed a
He's starting a veterinarian NBA podcast centered around goat yoga. Kuzma is going to wear shoes that are provided by the reseller. So it's not necessarily just one brand, but different shoes that are sold by this brand.
Okay.
I wasn't familiar with GOAT.
I'm still not, and you explained it to me.
Under Armour's got some new endorsers. They just signed Mo Bamba and Hamidou Diallo.
Oh, that's great.
Joined by also Joel Embiid, who signed with them last week.
That's good.
Of course, Steph Curry, still with Under Armour. Warriors All-Star DeMarcus Cousins signed a multi-year deal with Puma.
So they have Cousins, Bagley, and Ayton now.
Yeah. Now Cousin immediately becomes the most accomplished player to sign a Puma shoe deal. Nike officially declined their rights to match the offer. And lastly, Lonzo Ball has revealed his second signature shoe, the Zoe 219. It's going to retail for, drumroll please, $200.
Oh, wow. That's a little bit less, Bob, than what was going on.
$500 shoe before. This one has a flap over the laces. It actually looks like it's probably cost more to produce. Only $200, though. This is what happens when you get...
Is this the blue, orange, and yellow, and white, and black shoes?
They have a few different colorways for it.
Sorry to interrupt. What were you going to say?
Well, this is what happens when you get relegated to the bench and, you know, rendered invisible by the biggest NBA star in the world and his lifetime Nike deal.
Also, maybe you could sell two pairs of shoes at $500, or you could sell six pairs of shoes at $200.
It probably was a math equation of, like, we need to sell more pairs of shoes than, like, the hardly any that we sold for $500 last year.
You know how, you know how we're selling no shoes right now? What if we sold some shoes?
Kiss Cam news, Matt.
Oh, no. We're still doing that.
Yeah, the Warriors are upping the stakes for the Kiss Cam game this season. It's kind of like the dating game. This season, the Kiss Cam will be sponsored by last-minute hotel booking service Hotel Tonight.
Okay.
So fans with the best kiss for each home game that get the largest crowd applause will get a free hotel room.
Wow.
Courtesy of the sponsor.
Wow.
Which is pretty great. I'm excited for that. It's almost as cool as the free chicken sandwich if you miss two free throws in the fourth quarter. I wanted to give a shout-out, RIP, to Blazers owner Paul Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Finally died of Hodgkin's lymphoma this past week, and it was revealed that his sister has no interest in owning the basketball team.
Oh, wow.
So Vulcan, the company, the Allen's holding company, is going to sell the team. TBD about what happens with the Seahawks, but we're not trying to make this a NFL podcast.
No, we're already a veterinarian.
So maybe next week on the show, we could reveal some some candidates to be the latest Who's That Owner NBA owner in the Pacific Northwest.
Quick Paul Allen story.
Okay.
Remember when Quincy Jones had that crazy interview in the beginning of the year, or maybe it was last year, where Quincy Jones was just kind of saying stuff?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Did you read it?
I can't remember what. I mean, so many people have said so many ridiculous things since then.
Yeah, that's true. He called the Beatles the worst musicians in the world.
Okay.
And he said that Eric Clapton's band Cream, as a band, could play. But then Quincy Jones said, "But you know who sings and plays just like Jimi Hendrix? Paul Allen." The Vulture interview said, "Stop it." The Microsoft guy?
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah, man. I went on a trip on his yacht. He had David Crosby, Joe Walsh, Sean Lennon. Then on the last 2 days, Stevie Wonder came on with his band and made Paul Allen come up and play with him. He's good, man.
Wow. You know, one guy that is probably not going to be able to buy the team, who's been interested in buying teams before, is Larry Ellison, the CEO, founder of Oracle.
Right.
He wanted to buy the Warriors, lost the bid to Joe Lacob's group. For decades, Paul Allen and Ellison had a biggest yacht competition, which even involved Ellison building like a 35-foot addition to a yacht that he purchased just so it would be bigger than Allen's. I bet you there's some sort of clause in his Vulcan holding company. You could sell the team to anyone but that MF-er.
Yeah, but not to that chump Ellison. I will come back to life before you sell to Ellison.
He has enough money to haunt a man. Let's get into this week's Diss of the Week.
Yo mama is so fat!
The Miami Heat played in China this preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And in China, Hassan Whiteside was unable to communicate.
No.
So he was a little out of his element. A player on the Chinese team thought he would teach Whiteside how to greet fans because he was greeting fans as they were coming into the arena. So he taught him to say, "Wo shi ni baba," sorry if that's mispronouncing, and telling him that was saying, "Nice to meet you."
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying this to everyone at home, on the road, in the gym, to the fans, and no one was ever saying, like, "You too, man."
Mm-hmm.
They only returned blank stares.
Oh, this is not a good sign, Bob.
Whiteside found out from his teammate's general manager that he was actually saying, "I'm your daddy." Said he wishes he had dunked on him.
So he was playing around. He was pulling a fast one on old Hassan.
Yeah, yeah. Another Diss of the Week candidate, Kevin Garnett, was interviewed about this Jimmy Butler situation.
Mm-hmm.
He said the problem is he's dealing with Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor, who doesn't know shit about basketball.
Oh, okay, yes.
Never been one to be indirect with his speech. Oh, I saw on Reddit a funny post that said, "Knicks' first basket of the season, a half-court shot by a fan."
Oh, yeah, that was great.
The Knicks started their first game 0-10. David Fizdale, their coach, calls a timeout, and a random fan banks in a half-court shot for $10,000, which is probably a summary of the Knicks season to come.
How's that for data, Bob?
Our friend Scott Howard on Twitter had a good one this week. He said, quote, "Say what you want about Luka Doncic, but he complains about fouls like a savvy veteran."
That was good.
The winner of this week's Diss of the Week is from Jeopardy Sports on Twitter. They had this gem. "This NBA player wears number 7 in honor of his field goal percentage." The answer, Matt, is who is Carmelo Anthony?
Oh, man.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Tune in back next week. Who knows what kind of podcast we'll have then.
Yeah.
There's going to be horses and wolves all fighting Roseanne Barr. Plus more hoops, more LeBron. We'll talk about his L.A. debut. Hopefully more Jimmy Butler drama and mixed metaphors about it.
Yeah.
That and much more on the next episode of Brick House.